This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, it's Meraza. Happy Friday to you. The NFL hands out gambling suspension. Shep speaks Spanish and a Target demo Friday. It's the best of the DA show now.
So we have the suspensions handed down. And the question becomes, is a full season suspension, is that too much for gambling on sports, even if it isn't the NFL? Or is it not enough? And are these the only players that the NFL found? Isaiah Rodgers, Rashad Berry of the Colts, free agent Demetrius Taylor, and Titans offensive lineman Nicholas Petit-Frere. Are those the only guys that the NFL was able to find as violators of this? It is where we begin, your cold open.
What the league does and doesn't allow. Basically, there's six criteria on how you can violate the gambling policy. And we knew don't bet on team, don't bet on NFL games, don't bet in your facility, don't bet on road trips. Some other really minutia things in there, like the one that sort of I think has the most hypocrisy to it is don't go into a sports book during the season when four teams have sports books in their stadium. Like that one seems a little bit off to me. But the one I think that applies here is it says don't share inside information with your team. And I think when you make a prop bet like that on an over under on your running back, if other people know this is your account and they see you make that bet, it could be interpreted as sharing inside information.
The most amazing, sensational, dramatic, heartrending.
It's DA's top story.
Here he goes.
It's your cold open.
Right, that was the voice of George Bremer, who is a Colts beat reporter. He joined Ryan Hickey on the Blue Horseshoe podcast. That's right, our very own Ryan Hickey, the bad boy of radio. So there's a couple of layers here to this story that I find interesting. Number one. Here are the guys that have been punished by the NFL for gambling on the NFL or other sports at the facility. Rashad Berry, Stanley Berry Hill, Quintez Cephas, C.J. Moore, Nicholas Petit-Frere, Isaiah Rodgers, Demetrius Taylor, Shaka Tony, and Jameson Williams. Aside from Jameson Williams, my guess is you haven't heard of any of those guys. And my question is slightly conspiratorial. Are we to believe that the only guys betting on the NFL or on sports at the facility, you're not allowed to do that if you're at the facility, can't bet on any sports on your phone. That includes at the team hotel on the road that is considered a workplace because you're on the road with the team, so you can't bet there either. Are we led to believe the only guys betting on sports in the NFL are basically end of the roster practice squad guys? Because, again, have you heard of any of these guys besides Jameson Williams? Answer is probably no. Maybe you might say, well, DA, those are the guys that have most to gain by betting. Stars in the NFL, Travis Kelce, Patrick Mahomes, Josh Allen. These guys don't need to bet on football. That could be true. However, upon further investigation, Isaiah Rodgers, who got the full season suspension, was found that the majority of his wagers were in the $25 to $50 range. So it didn't sound like this guy was trying to get rich, was just doing it as like a little bit of juice, something to maybe tie over some boredom, just have something going on. Now, all of these guys, they are unbelievable lunkheads to risk their careers on $25 bets or any betting. I mean, okay, some of them might say, I didn't know we weren't allowed to bet at the team hotel. I thought we were off the clock there. That's one thing. But if you're betting on the NFL, you obviously knew. And if you're a practice squad guy, you should know the rules of the gambling stuff because you are most at risk. If you get suspended for a year, you may never get your job back. These guys are all disposable. So you're an incredible idiot for doing this. But are we led to believe that these are the only guys, the fringe guys, the end of the roster guys that happen to be betting on the NFL? Or does the NFL want to make an example of guys they know are disposable? Because if they happen to be stars, if it was Tyreek Hill, if these were big name players, does it crash even more scrutiny down on the fire hose of money that the NFL makes based on the legalization of sports gambling these days? It would strike me that not only would the end of the roster guys need a little bump, hey, 25 bucks on this, 50 bucks on this, it's just to tie me over with something to pay attention to while I'm sitting at the team hotel or something. It would strike me that a lot of guys would do that. But no NFL Pro Bowlers did this? Nobody we've heard of? I feel like the NFL may have wanted to make an example and do so with the guys that are disposable. Number two. This is a dangerous, slippery slope that Isaiah Rodgers went down and the NFL is walking as well, because while most of Rodgers' bets were between 25 and 50 bucks, he placed a $1,000 prop bet on the over-under on rushing yards by a teammate. Now, we don't know the specifics of which teammate, what the number was, and if you bet the over or the under on that, but he did win. And now we are talking about using your inside information to win money. Okay? And that's where the Pete Rose thing gets murky. Because some may say, well, he was just betting on his team to win. But he was the manager. He has intel that other people don't. That's insider information. And whether you're betting win or lose, in this case, over or under rushing yards, this is a teammate. You know, potentially, if your teammate is banged up, you know the injury situation, you might know your offensive line situation, you may also know scheme stuff, you may also know what the rotation's going to look like, what plays that they're going to run for a certain player. All of that stuff is inside information the rest of us don't have. So that's where this gets real, real dangerous, is that if a player wants to drop 25 bucks a game on, oh, I think the Jaguars cover the 7, that's one thing. If he starts throwing 1,000 bucks a game on a teammate to do something specific, that's where this can of worms gets blown open. And if that's the case, only a year sends a message, but is not the death penalty for Isaiah Rodgers. I think you could make the case that that bet by Rodgers is a you get thrown out of the league type of bet. Throw him out! That if you are going beep, 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 bang, a grand on the over-under rushing for one of my teammates, that's where the NFL has to get real careful. So I think the league is trying to thread a needle here, which is we are coming down hard. There is no fuzzy gray area. You can't do this. It's going to be a full season suspension. We're going after multiple players. We're coming down hard. But they're also, in my mind, acknowledging, I think, that this is happening more than just the suspension suggests. And they're kind of giving some breathing room to guys for guys to learn this and keep their livelihoods. Isaiah Rodgers isn't done with his career. Doesn't have to go to the Canadian Football League yet. Meantime, he used insider information to bet on a player on his team. They caught 8 guys nobody's ever heard of. Meantime, all these other starters and Pro Bowlers, etc., didn't get nailed in this web, and they get to keep their jobs, no questions asked. Feels a little fishy to me. 855-212-4CBS, the phone number. 855-212-4227 on Twitter, DA on CBS. Another day with a cast of thousands around here. This is very exciting. Pete the Body is not in again today.
Make the picks.
Don't look
at me.
Make
the damn picks.
What do they call that movie where the plague hits?
The Purge?
The Purge.
No, that's not the plague.
No.
Well, you got a couple of those.
Okay.
What's the one with Mark Wahlberg?
Yeah, some...
The Happening?
Boogie Nights. No? Different? Different Purge?
Maybe, Pete, with the forest fires in Canada and the smoke and haze coming down here...
Again, yeah.
Maybe he acquired something respiratory. He couldn't come in today.
Or, and I'm going to use a tennis analogy to kiss up to my good friend Pat Boyle, because we know how much he loves tennis, just like I do.
Uh-huh.
There's term called consolidating the break. When you break your opponent's serve, you then have to hold serve to actually confirm and lock in the advantage.
Because
if you then lose your serve, it doesn't matter. You're back to square one. Bilotti had to be off today to consolidate yesterday's day off. Had he returned today, that would have fueled our speculation that yesterday was more like a personal day than a sick day. So he had to stay home today to make us truly believe, sniff, sniff, that he was sick.
Come on, man.
Consolidated the serve.
Exactly.
I see.
And the break.
Bilotti panic has set in internally as we play Get Inside Pete the Body's Mind. Next week, okay, holiday week, he's already off 2 days. The following week, I'm on vacation. He knows he's got to be here. The week after, he knows he's got to be here. It's everybody saying, you know, our last farewells here. The following week, from that point forward, no full-timer yet in place of me. A lot falls on him for the next month. Pete has hit panic mode. These were his last 2 days to get a day off of days to burn.
You go ahead. I got one more thing to add onto the fire here.
I heard him on the phone yesterday, and again, he sounded like George Herman Ruth in the final press conference at Yankee Stadium when the guy was about to die. He did sound sick.
I heard Sandra Bullock sound like she was from Memphis in The Blind Side, too.
Again, that was Lou Gehrig.
No. No. The last Babe Ruth appearance at Yankee Stadium is the one where he's like...
Right. The speech D.A. gave yesterday was Lou Gehrig's
speech.
But the voice was Babe Ruth, who was dying of like throat and mouth cancer.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm mistaken. The quotes, but I know that there was an old raspy Babe Ruth at the stadium.
Right voice, wrong speech. Right.
That's right. So I'm just here to say that Pete's out. I'm not accusing him of anything.
Neither of us.
I don't know. Sounds like you guys are.
No, because I heard his voice, too. I actually, at my heart, believe he's sick, but, like, you know. Like,
you're calling him panic days.
Well, I think if there was even a thought that he could work, that puts him over.
I don't know. He was apologetic to me for not being able to work because he knows these are some of the last days we all have together. Anyway, cast of thousands, Pete is out, fear not. Pat Boyle slides in to the chair. Meantime, Mraz in his normal chair, however... We've just added an update guy for the entire week. This is an amazing thing. And so Bogish is in here, but Bogish is not doing headlines.
Or anything
else. Hey, boys.
Or anything else. Are you filling in for Ryder?
No.
Okay.
That would have been smart, but no, not doing that either.
It's just amazing. They've just kind of added a Bogish to the plate here.
Pro boner.
Because of lines like that.
So Caserta slides into headlines. And so we've got the cast of thousands going on here, and it really is an exciting time to be alive.
And let me be the first to say, I think we created some incredible radio yesterday, mostly spearheaded by Caserta's 2-minute soliloquy on wacky Morning Zoo radio.
Caserta was laugh out loud, fall on the ground funny yesterday. I watched that clip again yesterday. Caserta was on fire yesterday.
He was unbelievable to watch. That's why he was like that Austin Reeves game the Lakers had in the playoffs. It was incredible.
All he needed was to finish it off with a, I'm him.
Caserta had his Austin Reeves night.
He totally did. And he came in peacocking.
Yeah.
You know?
He knows.
He entered the locker room. He had that grin.
Well, he got some love on social media, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And now there's some buzz about, can you get Caserta into the Mraz role? And Caserta, which, talk about a mic drop, goes, I've never produced a day in my life. Ain't going to happen. Doesn't even want the job. Wants to just kind of parachute in here once a month, make everybody laugh and leave. Good night, everybody. Does not want the role.
Which I appreciate. Be honest. Don't take a job you're not cut out for. Mm-hmm.
I like this kind of not working thing, though, which
must be nice.
We've accused Sean of doing, so maybe I should take Sean's no-show job, and then Caserta could do
two no-shows, three no-works.
Who knows? You might get your own show out of it.
You never know. Maybe I'll go to Tucson.
Big Baby in the Bogus!
No, I want Baby in the bald spot.
Big Baby in the bald.
I'm taking Lugnut with me.
Big Baby. And the landfill.
Bogish and the Lugnut. Middays in Grand Rapids.
Bogues and the Lugnut, I think.
Bogues
better.
And the Lugnut.
He would get top billing.
I would hope so.
Cedar Rapids, does your radio sound funny in the morning? It's Bogues and Lugnut.
Cedar Rapids. Anywhere that has a rapids, by the way, we might be going.
Oh, yeah, it might be Cedar Falls.
Or Grand Rapids. So many options.
Yeah, I like the cities with the rapids.
Yeah.
Feels exciting.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
CBS presents this program in color.
An educated person can't think he's going to get a recruit by strippers coming in.
They can fire you, but they can't eat you.
And they run through our ass like through a tin horn, man, and we could not stop them.
The audio you need to hear. It's DA Soundcheck.
You can listen to the show on hundreds of affiliates nationwide across the ever-expanding CBS Sports Radio Network. And also you can check us out on SiriusXM Channel 158. Soundcheck begins with Kristaps Porzingis, who gets traded to the Boston Celtics. Celtics have to give up Marcus Smart, one of the blood and guts players of that Celtics squad. But they hope to upgrade the scoring department with another option behind Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown. Here's Kristaps Porzingis.
I think these are the best years for a basketball player. You're physically there and you're mentally really getting to a different level. And I believe I have some great, great high-level years ahead of me.
Porzingis needs to stay healthy. Okay, he is an upgrade offensively for that team. Al Horford, one of their bigs, is how old at this point in time? And I think the Celtics hit a spot where they knew they had to upgrade somewhere or make a change somewhere because they kept hitting their head on the ceiling. They had lost the Heat this year in the Eastern Conference Finals. Last year had lost in the NBA Finals. In previous years, lost in the Eastern Conference Finals. They've been very good, one of the best teams of the East, but haven't been able to win a championship. And obviously, when you have a young core like Brown and Tatum and you keep hitting your head on limitations, you can do one of two things. You can just keep riding this out and say it's going to break for us sometime, or you have to make some type of dramatic change while still holding on to the two guys that you feel are the most important pieces, Tatum and Brown. So that's where they're going right now at the moment. This is where they're going right now. I think Porzingis makes them intriguingly different. I'm not sure it makes them all that much better because they absolutely need Porzingis to stay healthy for the entire season for this to be a big upgrade. And I'm not sure that we can trust him to do so. Let's listen to a young man who is protecting another young man from a foul ball. This happened in the Astros-Cardinals game, and it's courtesy of Bally Sports Midwest.
Great fielders in Creve Coeur. Look at this. Kid reaches over and saves his seatmate from getting plunked right in the forehead.
Right in the face.
Check your lips. Great catch.
So this is a pretty clutch play by a kid making sure that another kid doesn't get destroyed by a foul ball.
So I don't think he's safe. Like he's not intending to save him. It's a pop foul. I think it's behind first base. So everyone's just reaching up to catch the ball. And this one kid has it go right through his hands and it's about to smash his face. And then there's just a glove right above his nose that catches the ball and prevents like catastrophe. But I think it's just the lucky reach in a scrum looking for a foul ball.
So he didn't. You don't think he was trying to protect the kid's face?
He couldn't have because he couldn't have known the ball's going to go right through his friend's hands and hit him in the face. That would be like Superman reflexes.
Check your lips.
If the ball does smash him in the face, what happens to that kid's face?
Bad things.
Probably destroyed.
But can I make a case that he was protecting him here? Okay, number one, it feels like he knows the kid. Maybe I'm judging this wrong. That kid's look up with his two hands, it's like Smalls in the Sandlot when he first joins the Sandlot. You can see that he has no ability to catch a foul ball.
He misjudges it by about 6 inches.
I mean, he's it's almost like he's never heard of the term hand-eye coordination. This kid standing behind him reaches over and goes, oh, here's Johnny again. He's not going to be able to catch.
And the kid behind him looks like he's got a good hand-eye. Yeah. He's leaning his glove over like, I'm going to steal the home run over the fence.
And this kid who could have gotten hit, who had the ball, I guess, stolen or would have been smashed. He has a reaction almost like he's annoyed that he got hurt by the glove, which again tells me, again, lack of awareness. You don't understand that you got hurt by the leg. You would have been destroyed by the ball. This sounds like a kid who's just an unathletic, you know, dweeb.
I don't disagree, Mraz, but could his vision, could his attempt to catch the ball have been blocked by that kid's glove? Because the kid's basically right in front of his face when he catches it. Like, if the kid would have actually caught the ball, that kid's glove would have still been right in his face.
Well, it's not a bad point. As I watch this over and over again, super slow-mo, it does appear like that glove could be impeding the vision of the kid that's trying to catch the foul ball.
No, he doesn't reach around until it's going to be just about too late. It's hovering there, and then you reach too late. That dude has no idea how to catch a foul ball. It is as if he's never seen a baseball in his life. He just throws his hands up there and thinks he's going to come down with it.
Check your lips.
Because they're both Cardinals fans. They're wearing Cardinals gear, and St. Louis is a really good baseball town. So you'd think that
Cardinals
all these kids,
way.
You'd think all these kids would know how to catch a foul ball. I will say that the kid who nearly had his grill exploded by this foul ball that misses it looks around when little Frankie has already caught the foul ball that should have been his and is like, happened again. It's almost like he has seen this unfold on the baseball diamond, like they both played outfield and Frankie got the home run and brought it back over. It's like, I've seen this play before.
Yep, here we go again. I got to save you again.
That's like if Knockout Neil had a friend at the show and when the events transpired, here we go again.
Finally, if you were wondering what the best sports radio show in America is, it's clearly JR Sport Brief nights here on CBS Sports Radio, because when JR and Shep get together, they make magic. But last night, even better, Shep shows the range that he has from a linguistic standpoint.
I've been out of school for 30 years. I took Spanish in school and didn't use it, and I forgot it. Well,
same boat, Sean.
Spanish 4 years, it's all come back to me. And if you're friendly with them, they are more than happy to help you learn your Spanish, and we'll have you speaking it in no time, my man.
Well, Sean, tú es muy inteligente, y tú es muy amable, y bueno, y estupendo, and that's where my Spanish pretty much...
Ay, Dios mío.
I wasn't that bad.
That was pretty good by Shep.
I really think so, too.
That was pretty good.
He did mess up, like, the most simple conjugation.
Yeah.
It's not two S. It's two Edis.
Two Edis.
Yep.
Wow. You guys are good, even knowing the conjugation.
Yeah. I also took Spanish in school for many years.
Same.
It sounded okay, but not great. There were definitely some technical errors.
Also, was Carlos with a K on the board with him?
Okay, correct. He was. You could tell because he chimed in.
Yeah. You cannot. Very funny. You cannot do that in front of Carlos. I mean, yeah,
Carlos is Puerto Rican.
He'll put you in your place very quickly.
He actually speaks fluent Spanish.
He does. I don't know. Maybe I'm lowering my bar on Shep, but I thought that was pretty damn good.
I think you're getting soft.
It is better than all of us would have expected,
yes.
Correct?
Yes.
And now, is it necessary? Did Shep need to do
that? Was trying to flex a little bit?
I think so.
Because he says right away, he goes, and that's the extent of what I know. It was kind of a humble without the brag.
But. Again, somehow the gods just consistently give us this amazing content. What exact translation does Shep have in a second language to a caller? You, sir, are very intelligent.
Right.
It's like the perfect, perfect Shep thing. What do we always say? Shep lathers on the compliments of whoever he's talking about to a degree where you don't know if it's honest or not. The first thing he says in Spanish to the guy is, you are very intelligent, sir. That is perfect.
Muchas gracias, Bob and Nancy. It's like, no, that was last year.
Oh, that is great. Now, why were they talking about where you go and when people talk Spanish to you, they'll be okay talking. They'll help you out.
So it started with the discussion about Dominique German. Dommy German needing an interpreter. And Shep went on and on to talk about how he couldn't believe how many athletes spoke multiple languages and how impressive it is. And that he is more petrified about traveling out of this country to, like, some vacation spots because he's very worried that he won't be respected because he can't speak multiple languages.
Most people speak English, you know. It's the unfortunate truth is that most Americans don't need to know any other language when you go anywhere because most people speak English, and they kind of know Americans are dopey enough to not know our language.
Yeah, I mean, and also, if you're Shep, I got to think you show up on some kind of vacation. They're not worried about your language. I mean, they just start hearing you talk anyway and are like, okay, let's get him back on a plane.
Yeah. Yeah, the concierge goes, oh, that's the guy that left his email open on the lobby computer.
Along with his bank account information. And his personal 401k plan login.
That is your sound check. Cast of Thousands includes Greg Caserta on headlines again this morning. Greg, good morning.
Good morning, DA. And another NBA star appears to be on the move again in the league. Will they play for pay? James Harden is likely headed to a new team.
This is prime time music.
I just wanted to do I just wanted to do that.
Howdy. Daniel tweets, DA, you guys can be like the soap opera where they recast a role and have the CBS voice god say, the role of Mraz will now be played by.
That's not bad.
It's like
really
Broadway.
Like this.
You go to the playbill, you flip it open, and there's a little insert that says today's performance is Pat Boyle in the place of Sean
Morish.
I do
like the idea of be like a Reddit discussion being like, I think he's a little too thin to play Mraz.
The casting call would be way better than this interview process.
Yes. Well, did you see this tweet, too, from Steven in SC? He's got a picture of himself, and he says,
oh!
You're on it. It'll be in your mentions. I think I could pull off being a fake Mraz for a while. I never took the SAT either, and I like to eat junk. Okay. And he looks Sean-ish.
Let's get him on the horn.
Sean-ish.
Hashtag Sean-ish.
Mm-hmm. Jeff in South Jersey says, wait a second, Mraz says Lindsay Lohan's mom grew up with Bob the Deli Man, then says the Lohans were a few blocks away. Hold on. All caps. Mrs. Lohan would not have been a Lohan while she was growing up.
Right. They refer to her that now because it's a celebrity. Whatever her last name was.
It was Sullivan, according to the Google machine. The Sullivan family.
Dina Sullivan.
I'm sorry I didn't tell you every detail of the life story. Yes.
This is an amazing... I can't believe it's taken 2 weeks until or 3 weeks until Mraz leaves the show for us to learn that Bob the Deli Man grew up with Lindsay Lohan's mom.
He could have gave you a lot of her stories at the Bob's Bar show.
I wish I knew this. Next year's Bob's Bar.
That's on you, Sean. Why didn't you feed that to us?
I mean, there was a chance at one point Bob, Viola, and Dina Lohan were all at a ground round together.
Frank Viola, former Cy Young Award winner, also was a Bob the Deli Man foil? Yeah. Villain? Enemy?
Antagonist, for sure.
Antagonist.
It could have been 1976, before a drive-in movie. They all happen to be at different tables in a different world.
Wearing their varsity jackets.
The final scene of The Sopranos. Different parties. Dixie Landan says, wasn't it Bob the Deli Man who played poker with Quacker Jack, who was the Long Island Ducks mascot? Imagine that poker table. Quacker Jack smoking heaters with Lindsay Lohan's mom sitting on a royal flush across the table from a shirtless Pat Morash with Nancy standing behind. A World Series of Poker on steroids.
It was my father-in-law that played poker with Quacker Jack.
I see.
Quacker Jack was a part-time paramedic, part-time mascot, and kept smoking in this guy Bob's house in illegal poker games. And my father-in-law befriended him.
What a doozy of a sentence.
Okay, and so I want this stated clearly for all of the D-aliens and for all parties involved here. Part of the PGP and the shows after Mraz announced he was leaving was this kind of wow, DA's crass attempt to just keep Bob's Bar going no matter what, that Bob's Bar is more important to the show than Mraz. And that's not true. However, as Mraz spit takes his water. However, a story like Mraz's father-in-law was playing poker with Quacker Jack, the Long Island Ducks mascot who was a part-time paramedic, can only happen there. And I just want this on record, that the stuff that has come out Mraz's life, I've lived around the country. I've met a lot of people. I've toured a lot of cities. I know a lot of different regions and families that come from a lot of places. I haven't met anybody where worlds collide in such crazy sitcom fashion as West Babylon, New York, which means while I love Mraz and don't want to see him go, I appreciate that he's getting a promotion. What we can't lose is the epicenter of the Funhouse mirror, which is West Babylon. That feels like a cartoonish world, like when Roger Rabbit gets thrust into real life. It's like that's our one rabbit hole into cartoon land that we have to hold on to dearly.
It's a whole neighborhood of Forrest Gumps. I mean, he was always accidentally in these monumental moments in history. And this clan of people ends up in the most random things over and over and over again. I mean, again, this is year, 10 and a half? And he just is still breaking Dina Lohan news.
If my dad grew up with Lindsay Lohan's crazy mom, I would have... That's the first cold open that I do in 2013.
Yeah, that's my icebreaker.
It's just another story that Mraz has. It's just another oh, yeah, that happened. You should hear the stories about Dina Lohan growing up. Where was this? She played fast and loose. I mean, again, that's the first thing. That would be on my business card. My dad grew up with Dina Lohan. You should hire me. I have good stories.
I honestly didn't know if I've told that story. I don't know. I lose track of what I've said on the
air. It's why we have to always go back to Bob's Bar, because that is...
We have to go back. We the have field to of dreams.
We have to hire Bob. We have to hire Bob.
If you build it, they will come.
We just have to... I mean, maybe we have the DA Show Hall of Fame ceremony there every single year, and everybody shows up and sits in the grass.
Please put in four board ops before Pete, please.
The original class, we wear polka dot jackets, bacon-themed jackets instead of the gold jackets.
Please have Pete valet cars at Steve Moralia's Hall of Fame.
We put in Brock, We put in Steve Moralio.
Ryan from yesterday. One day Ryan.
And I come knocking. No, he who shall not be named comes knocking at the door early in the morning at the hotel room. Oh, my God. Is this the knock that I've waited for?
What would he sing as you open the door to signal your inclusion of him?
You did it your way. And then Cap has the camera in his face. And there's Ryan Botcher who gets in to the DA Show Hall of Fame. A tear in his eye. I only worked 4 hours of the show, but they were the most meaningful 4 hours I've ever had.
Wearing an Ecto Cooler t-shirt.
This is a real honor.
Ecto Cooler.
Did you sleep in that Jurassic Park t-shirt?
Oh, it's so perfect.
The 2025 class from the DA Show's Hall of Fame features Jay Berman. Jay worked on the show for like 6 months. Pete throwing his pen down.
Randy in Alabama telling everybody they're a celebrity except Pete. When am I going to get respect around here? He once took off an unbelievable 84 days in 2023. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome in class of 2027 Hall of Fame member, Pete the Body Bellotti.
He never worked more than 8 days in a row, but made a lasting impression on the show.
I just don't like him.
Known for his magic fingers on the drops and the quote, days to burn. 2027 inductee, Pete the Body Bellotti. Welcome back. DA with you, CBS Sports Radio. Listen to the show in podcast form. The full 4 hours of the best of the show available every single day. Search the DA Show on your favorite podcast platform. Bouncing Baby Boy tweeted yesterday, actually, I'm toasting the decade of DA stories. I've only been a listener for 2 years, but hearing the stuff I've missed over the years is pure gold. I hate that Mraz is leaving, but it's awesome to be caught up on these stories that make him who he is today. Hashtag keep him coming. Toast him. This, it's funny. I tend to believe in the retrospectives more than my bosses do, more than most radio people do. I think being a product of the 80s and 80s television, there was always clip shows and retrospectives and ways to remember the good stuff because it was before on demand. And if you wanted to watch like old Carson clips, you had to wait till they released the box set or just wait to watch reruns and hope that you saw something, but or had somebody had it on videotape. But if you missed something on TV, it was just gone unless you knew somebody that had it on VHS. And so while everything's on demand these days, I always believed in the go back and play great moments so that people got caught up on this stuff. And I've had bosses say, don't look back, don't replay stuff, only look forward, keep it fresh. And maybe because the essence of this show is that it's built on a lot of stories and jokes and layers of years of insider stuff. But also, if you do, it's why I do the 12 DAs of Christmas and why I started this in Boston. It was like in 2009, yeah, I was trying to fill 5 hours of radio at night by myself. So when you go up against, let's say, Red Sox games and you've got to dig into like the Patriots secondary for the fifth hour, you need something else. But I've always felt like let's commemorate the crazy stuff because you do a year's worth of shows and let's say you had 10 amazing moments or 10 even very good moments. Why wouldn't you want to play those 10 great moments again if, you know, that was the best stuff you did? And so I've always believed in that type of stuff, and it's helped a lot of people understand more about the show when you go back. And so yesterday we played the emergency Pop-Tart where Mraz was having indigestion for what he thought was the first time in his life and didn't know what was happening. He was having heart palpitations and We still don't know what really afflicted him. It might have been simply hunger pains because he ate Chinese food and then was hungry again. Maybe acid reflux. But he just felt like, I don't know what's going on in my body. It's the overnights. I brought Pop-Tarts in case I got hungry. We ordered Chinese. Let me just eat a strawberry Pop-Tart, hoping that that's the remedy. And Bogus had a great line yesterday, like, this is another example of how you know nothing and that it's perfect. I don't know what's happening in my body. I don't know what foods create what. I don't know what causes relief or more pain. So I'm just going to go for it. And it leads to, quote, the emergency Pop-Tart, which is now lore.
Which you can't do down the hall.
I could do whatever I want.
Now, I don't know, because he's going to be co-hosting with Tiki, and Tiki's a health nut.
Right.
So can he order Chinese food and then wash it down with a Pop-Tart in front of Tiki and not feel terrible about all of his decision-making?
That's so true. There's already been some rumblings that Tiki wants me running with him. If my life doesn't change now health-wise working with an athlete that's still in pristine condition, frankly, I think it's time to officially chalk that up as a life L.
Wouldn't that be something in terms of a plot twist that it took Mraz getting teamed up with Tiki to finally lose the 100 pounds?
I don't know how we would feel about that, DA. If, I mean, you've tried for more than a decade being, you know, supportive, looking out for his health.
That's right.
We've been mean at times. We've tried to shame him into losing weight.
Tough coaching.
We've made bets on this. He has made bets on this. And again, at one point was going in the other direction. He gained weight instead of losing weight by a birthday. But if it takes 6 months of Tiki browbeating him, then fancy, you know, shakes and grilled chicken lunches and training sessions with the hills of New Jersey, wherever fancy neighborhood Tiki lives in, if a year from now Sean's down to 180 svelte, but like a, you know, a nickel corner, what does that say about us?
Well, it's a slap in the face to all you.
It is, right? It's only a negative. It'll be nice that if he's in shape and healthy, great. I mean, but if we couldn't do it for a decade and he does it in a year, that's going to hurt.
It's the radio show's version of being big leagued by somebody.
Yeah.
And that's, I think, what would be the case is, you know, thanks for 10 years, but, you know, go screw.
I'm going to come back here in 2024 with a size medium I Love New York shirt and look at Pete the Body and spit right at his feet.
Oh, my God.
All right, now maybe I'd like that to happen.
Listen, if we're being honest, we don't like to see that.
But think of, too, all of the different sponsorship possibilities on local radio. You may have your food given to you.
Yeah.
You may get equipment given to you to try and lose. I mean, this is, like you
free
said,
diet plans.
You're right, though.
Trainers.
Yeah. Right. This may be, though, if you can't do it now, it's never going to happen. Mm-hmm. As he.
I agree.
Yeah.
Doritos?
Chex Mix? What is that? Thai chili?
Those are Doritos. And I'll say this, Bogues, as much as he might get promotions and you know, sponsorships from healthy stuff, I mean, he's going to get a lot of sponsorships and promotions and free food delivered all the time.
Yeah, Porky's Barbecue.
That's my worry, the pig places target me.
Like,
come here, little fatty.
With this group, you can get away with that. You're not allowed to eat around Tiki Barber like you're undercover sitting in a car waiting for somebody to walk out of a hotel.
When you tell Tiki the story of the days you have driven to the gym in your gym clothes and just stopped, went to the Wendy's drive-thru, and then drove home, he is not going to be pleased. We celebrate it. He is not going to be pleased.
And I've won one more Super Bowl than he did.
Adam Ray tweets, here's an idea. Why not recycle some old footage and sound bites of Mraz to give the illusion he's still around? Yes, this is like when Chevy Chase left Community and they just used like outtakes from previous years or his voice to act like he's still there. And let me tell you, Pete has prepared for this.
Mm-hmm.
Pete has collected a soundboard of at least 100 Mraz clips, probably more like 250.
There's 100 just Canadian bacon clips.
Oh, that's a good point. So we have about 1,000 Mraz clips, and he's always said, look, if Mraz leaves the show, we could just play these and it'll sound like he's still here.
Yeah.
So when in doubt.
And Cap's a wizard. he could certainly CGI a Mraz like hologram into that seat.
Is there not an AI Mraz somewhere to be had around here?
But DA Monday, Pete declared on the show that he's wiping me out of the folder entirely.
Well, no.
We've talked about this.
No, no. Pete and I have talked about this, and you guys brought this up on the PGP, whether there's going to be Mraz rejoins anymore.
Yeah.
And that's a conversation he and I had, and I said, we're not going to delete anything, but you will want to move things to a different folder because, and you cited this, if you start playing Mraz rejoins all the time and Mraz isn't here, the guy or gal who takes over for Mraz starts seeing the retired number over his or her head every single day.
Wentz at the Nick Foles statue.
That's exactly right. That's right. That's right. So we need to release some of the pressure from whoever replaces you from constantly hearing, you know, all of your stuff.
10 years. Good for nothing. Can't even get a simple rejoin. Still happened.
Yeah, sure. Play the victim.
Greg Caserta has headlines.
So, some more sports media news yesterday that you talked about, J.J. Watt starting his new gig as a pharmacist. I wanted to play the clip of him saying CVS instead of CBS. But
he said CVS.
I think it might have been a goof, unless he did say it and then did the second take where he said CBS.
Ah, gotcha.
So, there's two clips on his Twitter, but Twitter would not let me log in from one of the newsroom computers, so... I truly hope that Elon Musk and Mark Zuckerberg beat the living hell out of each other. I think Watt will be a great addition to CBS's studio crew. He joins James Brown, our own Boomer Esiason, Bill Cowher, Nate Burleson, Phil Simms, Herb Adderley, Morton Anderson, Steve Atwater, and Chuck Bednarik. They're going to need a bigger desk. In an article with the Akron Beacon Journal, Brown's running back Nick Chubb said... he doesn't think his production will be limited by Deshaun Watson. Chubb pointed out that he scored a career-high 12 touchdowns last season. But it's important to remember that all 12 came before Watson had his suspension lifted in Week 13. In five seasons, the former Georgia Bulldog has rushed for 6,300 yards with 48 touchdowns.
Quick bit of news for you on a Thursday morning. I just got a job at CVS.
Oh, so it was a joke.
It was a goof.
It was a bad, corny J.J. Watt joke.
Mm. All Greg had to do was...
That's right. It's not funny.
It's not funny. Greg, though, not really showing that he's a true bogus. All he did was open up the, you know, our sound system to see the clip is already in there. You didn't have to roll on Twitter.
Oh.
Was that the clip that you were teasing?
No. No, it's another clip. But I can't find a way to get it in. Like, it doesn't make sense right now, so I might do it at 9:30. I don't know yet.
No. You teased that next hour was going to be a big clip.
No. But it's my update. I can do whatever I want.
No, but you can't tease something. What if somebody stayed in the car for a whole hour for this update?
Kill them what they know.
They're silly, aren't they?
So that was the clip that you were going to play.
No, that wasn't it. No.
It definitely was.
The clip I want to play is a Chris Berman clip. It just, I feel like I'm really shoehorning it in.
Well, welcome to the DA show.
Yeah, if I play it
you
right.
You shoehorn whatever joke you got right into the conversation. Yeah. You never look back. You know how many times I've viewed Casey Kasem and didn't need to?
Okay,
just do
fine.
It.
Fine, here it is.
Understand, tonight is awful in here. I saw this on the schedule, Jets during the Christmas holiday. I took four deux at 6 o'clock, Canadian aspirin. With a little bit of codeine in it, you know, just enough to give you that pop. I mean, you buy it over the counter up there, you can't hear. So you put it in all the corners of your suitcase. Do you have anything to declare? Oh, no. You always hope to have one Blue Jay game a year. You never take Nah, just a little drop, a little 8% codeine, never hurt anybody.
That's a clap. I feel like Deadspin was built on that clip.
Yeah,
that's
rumbling, bumbling, stumbling.
That's a famous Berman
that
clip.
And him ripping whoever was in the control room or the studio with him one day.
Yeah, that video was him on desk and he was talking to somebody that was offset, but they had him mic'd up and they saved the video and then released it many years later.
It's like no one's ever worked in TV before. He was very angry.
Yeah. Either way, bad tease payoff.
No, I like that.
Bogus left.
I laugh, but now I'm trying to figure out how you were going to try to get it into an update in 2023.
No, because I just, because before you guys were like, that's the only Chris Berman we're going to get. So I wasn't going to do an impersonation. So I said, I was going to say, you asked for more Chris Berman. Here you go. So that was going to be it, but it just at this point just seemed ham-handed. So either way, it's ham-handed. Mm, it ends up being even more so. Some MLB All-Star news.
Sean usually ham-handed for a different reason.
Right. He's holding just two hams.
Honey glazed.
Lunch, anyone?
His show is literally called The Pork Store.
I miss the old Saturday Night Pork Store. Some MLB All-Star news. Number 99 hasn't suited up for that team in almost a month, but he was still voted to the American League outfield alongside Randy Arozarena and Mike Trout. Mookie Betts is joining Vladimir Guerrero Jr. and Julio Rodriguez for his first appearance in the Home Run Derby. He's an All-Star for the seventh time and said, quote, "It's the last thing I haven't done. My wife kind of compared it to LeBron not doing the dunk contest." And that's not a knock or anything, but she feels like, for what I'm trying to do in baseball, bring awareness to black culture, I should probably be more involved.
Right. Cool.
And I will actually have some Dodgers sound in the next update, but I'm up against it here. It's time to get stuck.
It doesn't take much to surprise this bouncing baby boy.
This is honestly the most stunned I have ever been on the show to a news.
The DA show is stunned to a news.
Folks, anytime you think that we're living in a doomed society, you're 100% right. An Alabama 8-year-old had his sights set on Disney World and decided to open up a lemonade stand to help him get there. However, he and his mother received a surprising call. Cam and his mother, Crystal Johnson, were contacted by the Alabama Labor Department over a complaint that the lemonade stand violated child labor laws.
Oh, no.
8-year-old Cam said he started his lemonade stand as a way to make money to go to Disney World. Cam started his lemonade stand. His mother put up a flyer encouraging other kids to take up a one-day apprenticeship at the stand to learn the value of hard work and money. The flyer said Crystal and Cam were looking to have two kids join, one as a smiler, one as a greeter.
A smiler!
I was trying to teach them exactly what I'm trying to teach my son, just how to handle money, customer service skills, teach the little boys how to shake hands correctly, and just little things like that. That's all I was trying to accomplish. She then got the call from the state labor department after a complaint was filed against the stand for violating child labor laws.
Goodness.
I got so irritated reading this. Who makes that phone call?
Who reports the lemonade stand?
The parent of the kid who was rebuffed for some reason.
Who didn't get the job of smiler?
Exactly. That's who it is.
That's outrageous. Imagine being bitter about a lemonade stand.
Well, did you hear what they made the kid do when his hands got tired from squeezing the lemons?
What's that, Pat?
What?
It was a joke.
They put him in a submarine and dropped him in the middle of the Atlantic.
All right, folks. I made two submersible jokes, and everybody goes nuts. Oh, you're insensitive.
I mean, it only takes one, Ben.
We didn't need the second.
A bunch of morons with a GameCube controller taking a submersible 2 miles below the surface. What did you think was going to happen?
Maybe not explode the bits?
Well, I hate to comment on this as circus music plays behind it, but I will say when I learned that they were not trapped beneath the ocean, suffocated to death, it actually was a relief.
Yes.
I was like, thank goodness it just ended quickly. Because I was in panic mode personally, just like updating my phone, hoping that they weren't still underneath the ocean, watching each other perish.
Yeah, just losing air, suffocating. That's a bad one.
I mean, that's the nightmare of all nightmares. That's like Saw 8. I mean, that just is...
Saw 8.
Forget it. I couldn't even conceive of that. But so, yeah, it imploded basically as soon as it got down there.
Saw 8.
As the circus music plays.
Is Saw 8 the one with Danny Glover? I forget.
Yeah.
How did we?
I made a bad joke.
That was the same day Greg previewed day two of the NBA draft. By the way, that happened.
I've said some relatively funny things in this studio. I don't know if I ever made those two laugh harder than when I mentioned day two of the NBA draft.
And I'm serious.
Yeah. And I laughed the whole weekend. I was just going to go, and Brad Stevens speaking this morning before the NBA draft resumes.
Yeah, nope. I am surprised there's a day two of the draft. I thought it was all in one day.
Are you being serious?
NBA draft?
Dude. Yeah.
That's oh, my God. Pat, go to break.
That's what I got wrong. I thought there were 2 days.
Oh, my God.
Oh, that's the joke.
Yeah. So,
oh, my God. Did you just think there was a day two of the NBA draft, too?
No, I didn't. I never thought there was a day two of the draft.
But we just said that. You were thinking, oh, wow, that's surprising there is?
Yes. I was like, there's day two of the draft?
See how the wires get crossed? Like
Sean, don't leave.
You, too.
Well, you're talking about it like the joke was that Caserta cared that it happened.
Right.
You didn't play it off like, I can't believe this knucklehead thought there was day two.
Oh, I thought.
You kept playing it. You kept playing it like, why would you think that that matters? It's day two.
No, that's fair. Okay, so you were misunderstanding the way. The joke was that he previewed a clip and said at a day two, and we looked at him and he was dead serious. He was like, does it continue like the NFL?
Oh, no, no. I thought you said you were a right spider.
Oh, man.
Oh, man.
Yeah. All right. Good luck to the kid in the lemonade stand. Get back on it.
Who would report the lemonade stand?
The kid now with he's the iced tea stand. So like, I'm going to get this kid out of business.
Now he's saving up to get his mom out of jail.
Right.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
It's a Friday fiesta. Here's what our listeners in the Target demo are up to.
Okay, mega poundage. Listening at work from York, PA, 96.5 CBS Sports Radio, Harrisburg. Mraz can never be duplicated. Boyle is the man for the job. Already has the charismatic personality. Best radio show in the country.
The Tennessee Titans.
Adriana listening on the Odyssey.com page. Looking forward to the weekend. I'll take any version of Boyle that Nancy wants to oil. You like that, big boy?
Kristaps Porzingis.
Big Lar is listening in Twin Falls, Idaho on Twitch. I don't want Pat to be like Mraz. There's only one. Fishing all weekend. Sturgeon, brewskis. God, we're going to miss you, Mraz. Hashtag power, power. Dan in Mechanicsburg, happy Friday. Caught the first hour, 96.5. We'll catch the rest on Amazon, or better yet, YouTube. I wouldn't mind a Mraz-like Boyle, but how about a Boyle-like Mraz that we've been waiting on since the inception of the diet? Hashtag with bacon.
Forget the bumps.
Incognito Man, good Friday, gang. Listening from Wisco, Sirius XM 158. Mraz and Boyle turning into one another. I'm here for it. Goose.
Ho, ho, ho.
King Curtis, good morning, gentlemen, from windy, rainy, southwest Kansas on the Odyssey app. Leave Boyle how he is. Hashtag Thunderdump.
Let me be fat.
Justin, coming in hot from Savannah, listening on the CBS Sports app while putting on a new side porch. I'm a little wet, little drippy, no Mraz like Boyle, just Mraz. Hashtag gonna miss him. Hashtag meaty man boobs.
Believe that.
Dixieland Ann, down here in hot-ass North Mississippi on Twitch, gang. Gonna have a big cookout tomorrow on the new porch with some fat-ass burgers and brats, ice-cold adult beverages. Got practice Sunday for the slow-pitch home run derby.
Get hit by a bus.
Hashtag, it clears it. Kristen in Buffalo watching via YouTube on the main TV because it's a summer Friday for me. Thumbs down for Blob Boyle. Both Mraz and Pat have their own style that cannot be imitated.
Mark Manning.
Steven in South Carolina watching on YouTube in Myrtle Beach. Boyle would be great. If not, I'd be willing to negotiate oopsies in negotiations.
Stupid little dum-dum boy.
Lukewarm Churro. Good morning, guys. Listening in Boise at 95.3. I think Boyle is good how he is. Brings his own flair to the show. I don't think Boyle's ready to take in a White Castle Crave case or soil himself just yet in the PGP.
Dog!
Hashtag Tom Doyle. Let's get to the epic fail. What did we do for the fail today?
Pete Bellotti's Hall of Fame ceremony.
Oh, the best.
Even the DA show is not perfect. We know. Shocking. Here's the epic fail.
I mean, maybe we have the DA show Hall of Fame ceremony there every single year. And everybody shows up and sits in the grass.
Please put like in Canton. Like 4 board ops before Pete, please.
And there's Ryan Botcher who gets in to the DA show Hall of Fame. A tear in his eye.
The biggest stage out there.
I only worked 4 hours of the show, but they were the most meaningful 4 hours I've ever had.
Wearing an Ecto Cooler t-shirt.
This is a real honor.
Ecto Cooler.
Did you sleep in that Jurassic Park t-shirt?
But I truly meant no disrespect.
Oh, it's so perfect.
The 2025 class from the DA Show's Hall of Fame features Jay Berman. Jay worked on the show for like 6 months. Pete throwing his pen down.
I just don't like him.
When am I going to get respect around here?
You're right.
He once took off an unbelievable 84 days in 2023. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome in class of 2027 Hall of Fame member, Pete the Body Bellotti.
Pete, it's been an emotional time for me, and just know that the bright star of your hard work, emotion, and will to live has carried me through it.
He never worked more than 8 days in a row, but made a lasting impression on the show.
I just don't like him. Can we clarify? I am not a shy guy.
Known for his magic fingers on the drops and the, quote, days to burn. 2027 inductee, Pete the Body Bellotti.
Epic fail, you loser.
That is why you fail.
Epic fail. Cigar-smoking dude listening from Kingston, Jamaica on the Odyssey app. Great to be me and not Meaty Moobs Boyle. Hashtag great show, guys.
All right.
Meaty Moobs Boyle. Senor Patleg, the only marasmus Boyle needs to evolve into is a little more self-deprecation. No need to freak out and get loud and shirtless whenever we crack on your soft, pillowy moobs. Booskies to a great weekend, everybody.
How many beers ago? Probably 1,000.
Mariana, oh God, Kaplan, you've outdone yourself. I'm in Richmond, Virginia, Twitch gang gang. Please no Meraz Boyle. There's only one Meraz and only one Pat Boyle. My brain couldn't take it. It would be like a bad trip.
You are a machine of death.
A shower.
What a week this was. Thanks to Sean Meraz, executive producer.
A shower.
Thanks to Pat Boyle on the Wheels of Steel.
A shower.
Thanks to Greg Caserta on headlines.
A shower.
Thanks to Andrew Bogish along with me.
A shower.
Along with Andrew Kaplan, the Wizard of Watch DA. Be good to one another.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.